You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. If you missed your favorite program, don't worry. You can listen to podcasts of our program at cjsf.ca.
Today on Wings, there's an old saying, everyone talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. The women in today's program prove that wrong.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
You might think weather is non-binary, but two major world weather trends have been assigned a gender. La Niña, Spanish for girl, refers to accumulation of cold water in the Pacific Ocean around the equator. Meteorologists say that predicts a widespread seasonal drought. El Niño, the boy, refers to warm water accumulating in the same region, and that is seen as a warning for heavy rains and floods. Starting in October 2023, Kenya is one of the countries being hard hit by El Niño. Our reporter in Mombasa, Diana Wanyonyi, has had to leave her home for fear of flooding and can't go to her relatives due to washed-out roads. However, she filed three interviews with women doing something about the weather.
That is the sound of rain. Heavy rains and flooding experienced in Kenya that started mid-October and expected to end in December this year is El Niño. Kenya Meteorological Department predicted that El Niño would hit the country, warning Kenyans who are staying in flood-prone areas to evacuate. Already, 20 people have died in different parts of Kenya, with floods destroying houses, farms, and killing more than 1,000 livestock. Mombasa is one of the counties that has been hit by the continuous rains. From Mombasa, I, Diana Wanyonyi, met and talked to three women from different organizations on the dangers, advantages, preparedness, and hope on El Niño rains.
My name is Amisa Azaja and I work with Margin of Fanisi. Margin of Fanisi, which means water and development. I also work with persons living with disability, myself being one of them. I work on project initiatives that are either charitable or income generating projects for youths, women, and persons living with disabilities.
When we speak about Maji, which is water, how is it in coastal Kenya?
Water is a basic need. We need water to do everything in our society. So I choose the component water because it's what joins the whole community. Where we fetch water, you will find everyone. You will find the blacks, the whites. You'll find the elderly, you'll find the young people, you'll find women, you'll find men. That's why water, to me, is key. And sanitation is key to the community I work with. So I actually work to enhance availability and access of water, the water drops, and making sure also we have the best sanitation. A dignified sanitation where you go to the toilet, you go when you're healthy and you come out when you're healthy. So we look at the component of a healthy environment in terms of sanitation too.
The season now, it's El Niño. What's the advantage and disadvantage of El Niño in coastal Kenya?
When you have issues of climate change where you have El Niño, we work on and we sensitize people on issues of water harvest because we need water. And since we have climate change with us, usually we have long droughts also. So because of the long droughts, having El Nino is an advantage. Though we have floods, we have soil erosion, we have so many things that affect us. At the same time, if we plan ourselves well and do water harvests, we'll be using this water that is being wasted during the El Nino for the drought season. And the drought season, we can use it to plant, to do the root to food, and make sure that that is the water we are using during that time. Floods do so many things. Yes. Even a very fertile soil can be left without fertility just because it has been eroded. The earth can only absorb a certain percentage of the water. Once it has absorbed enough, then the rest is wastage. But if it is too much, then you will find that the fertility part is gone. Maybe some shallow-rooted trees will also go, and so many other things. So for that, usually we plant deep-rooted trees. Deep-rooted trees, they could be also trees that are fruitful. They can bear something that people can eat. But at the same time, usually we plant trees which are deep-rooted so that as it rains heavily, the water is being absorbed by the roots of the trees that we have planted.
And comparing this year's El Nino, because it has already started, vis-a-vis the one that was there like a few years ago, what are you expecting?
Since we were given alerts by our meteorologists, what we had done so far is sensitize people, especially those people who are living in dangerous places. We have been advising them to shift, to look for some other places to live, because already the rains that have already started, they have already killed quite a number. Like here in Mombasa, in Bamburi, 3 people. They were covered by their houses just because of the rains, the heavy rains of El Nino.
On Wings, you're listening to Diana Wanyoni's interview with Kenyan environmentalist and disability activist Hamisa Zaja. She is a longtime program officer with Maji na Ufanisi, which translates from Swahili as water and development. In addition to the problems of collapsing houses, falling trees, and soil erosion, she says El Nino floods pose a huge sanitation problem, causing sewers to collapse and waste trenches to overflow. And then there are flies.
So what we are afraid of is the sewer holes. Many are not covered. And during floods, you don't know where you are passing, whether you are a motorist, whether you have a bike, or maybe whether you are walking, you are just on foot. So the holes, the sewer systems that we have, the drainage systems that are uncovered, and also some buildings that they are too tall. And they took very few months to be built. Now you can just see that this building is not up to it doesn't reach the capacity of being a story house, a story building. At the same time, if we have deep-rooted houses, that will stop floods and so on and so forth. So those are my fears.
Are you afraid of communicable diseases?
Of course, communicable diseases, even when we talk about sewer and those uncovered holes of sewer, what happens is when these floods, they also flood. They block and they flood. So when they flood, what happens is a lot of dirty things are flowing. And you see, we are the rain, the El Nino has just caught up with school closure. We have kids at home. They will be jumping over that flood. They will be playing around. So communicable diseases, of course, they'll be there. And diarrhea is already here. People have already started diarrhearing. We are having a lot of flies, which we know that is a very good product of the supply, communicable diseases. So kids have already been affected, their skin, they have skin diseases also due to communicable diseases.
Do you think Kenyans are ready or have started moving out, or they're still just in their places, in their comfort zone?
As Kenyans, I would say we don't learn. We don't learn very quickly. We most of the time when we are told things, we think they are lies, because we are used to lies by politicians.
On November 10th, NTV Kenya reported on a false statement by President Ruto that had weakened preparations for the floods.
Deputy President Rigathi Gachagua now admits that Kenya is undergoing El Nino, weeks after his boss, President William Ruto, said that the rains would not escalate to El Nino levels, and days after the weatherman confirmed that El Nino indeed is on. The director of the Kenya Meteorological Department, Dr. David Gikongo, seems to have been put in the position of taking the fall for the questionable communication and has apologized to the public for what has been termed as a miscommunication, despite he himself never having pronounced anything other than that the country should expect and prepare for El Nino. So far, 19 counties have been affected by the floods, with thousands of families displaced.
Again, Hamisa Zaja.
So it's very hard for someone to believe what you are telling them, that there will be rains, there will be El Nino, there will be blah, 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 blah. When you tell them anything that doesn't include money, you are already a liar. So many other people, that even those who have already been caught up by the floods, they didn't believe. They stayed in the places that are very dangerous. And this tells you that it's very hard for someone. In fact, when you tell someone that shift from this place because it's very dangerous, like we were telling some people at Junda, where even the accident happened, very near. There's a family that is just living under a ditch. There's a ditch. Then they are living there, and they have a young person, a kid with a disability. So we were telling them to shift before the rains, and they were telling us, where are you taking us? You see, where are you taking us? They just think that if you want them to move out of there, you should have a place for them. You should be the one responsible over them. So these are the things that we face on the ground when you tell people such things. We need to learn as Kenyans that we need to be responsible of our own lives. We need to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we need to listen to what others are telling us. Otherwise, we will all one day be called as victims of circumstances just because we didn't listen. Because you will hear so many people right now say, because it was very hot before it started raining. So, and it had already been predicted that the rains would start at this date, at this month. And it was like, have you seen El Nino, which is very hot? You see, we were making jokes over it. Then immediately when it started raining now, we were still complaining, oh, the government should come. Oh, the government should have done something. Oh, the government. We need to be responsible. We need to be responsible as Kenyans.
Next, here's Mombasa County Coordinator for the Red Cross Society, Aisha Al-Husseini.
Red Cross is a non-profit organization. We are registered under the Act of Parliament. We support and assist the county government and the national government. So Red Cross is a membership-based organization whereby people do register for them to be members. We have a pool of volunteers. You can come in and support us in our movement. We have youth department that deals with youth empowerment, and this is in school, out of schools, and unicorn chapters. We get sessions at the schools and we provide them on mentorship, disaster response, preparedness, all that. And we do cleanups, youth community cleanups. We do tree plantings on the environment aspect. We have a project under the disaster risk reduction that we were implementing in Jomvu and Mvita. So we were tagging because on the slums, the informal settlement. So we are looking on how we can sensitize the community to be able to respond on themselves before Red Cross coming in. So we have a vibrant team which is there, and we are looking to scaling also to the other sub-counties because of the resources that we have through Danish Red Cross. And another thing that we do is on health. We do support the county on health activity. If there's any disaster that has arise, maybe dengue, cholera, we come in to support them on what we can as our mandate as Red Cross. We do have a team that is well knowledge and equipped on epidemic as Red Cross, so we are fully prepared and ready for any eventuality that may arise. And we have an innovation department, which is based in Mombasa at the moment, although it works all over the country for the 47 counties. So we are looking on how we can skill youth and women on different kind of tech and also entrepreneurs. So that is a nutshell of what we do in Mombasa. On regards to the El Nino rain, we have called all our stakeholders around to discuss on how we can come in together and do. We have County Government of Mombasa, we have World Vision, we have National Government. Now this we are talking on the National Police, different partners also coming in who have been implementing also with us through this project because they're part of those communities. So we usually collaborate on how we can come in together and do to assist our community. And the leaders at the community level have identified hazard and hotspots. Hazard areas are places where the water might be passing through those houses. We might get some houses that might collapse because not everyone has a structure that is well in terms of the housing. And another thing, the fact that some houses are or not in a proper place, how they were constructed. And people have started communicating to the family who are located at the hazard areas so they can move to the safer place, telling them to move to safer houses. And we've mapped on the schools that we feel they may be affected and all that. We've already mapped, and also we've looked on the places that we can have people camp, but we are not encouraging it so much to have the camp because it's kind of like very it's not a lot of sustainability for it to be there.
How prepared are you as a Red Cross if people are displaced? How prepared are you?
Yeah, we do have, we've selected places like the rescue centers that we may be taking the people. So we do have a database for that also, that in case for anything that might happen, we do have places that we collaborated with County Government of Mombasa in regards to this.
Are people moving out or are they still there?
For us, it's only sensitization. We can't force them to move now because that is not our mandate. But now we've communicated to the security aspect to come in, and they can be doing that. But for us, it's just doing sensitization. So there are others that have felt like they need to move, but you know, the others might not move because that is the place they've grew up all of that time. So for us, we have been doing sensitization, and we'll never stop doing sensitization to them. Now we leave it to the person decision to make.
Diana Wanyonyi's third interviewee is Topista Juma, an activist with Muhuri, the Muslim for Human Rights organization. They spoke a few days before the rains began. Her group has a special concern for the well-being of women during the torrential El Nino rains of 2023.
My name is Topista Juma. I work for a human rights organization based at the coastal region. The name of the organization is called Muzi for Human Rights, Muhuri. One, we are worried as women Because to me, I'll say we are not prepared. Personally, I'm not prepared because I don't know where to start. Whether I should buy umbrella, whether I should buy raincoat or gumboots. And especially us who are in town, we don't have shambas here to do farming. So what I'm seeing right now, I'm only seeing the county government running up and down. Everyone is busy on the ground, yes, trying to prepare, cleaning up the drainage system, making sure that there's a lot of awareness that people are supposed to do. They have, like us here in Mombasa, we are trying to reach out to women, telling women to be prepared, to make sure they are safe, to make sure their kids are also saved and covered. And as a champion of gender-based violence, we know maybe those are the times that we receive so many cases of gender-based violence. We're also alert, preparing ourselves to receive cases and to advise women and men what to do and where to report. We are partnering with everyone. Any stakeholders who is ready to also partner with us, we are ready. We are also making sure that we have a lot of awareness, radio talk shows, and community dialogue forum, just to prepare people psychologically that this rain is coming, it's real, it's coming, and we also need to be prepared. And people in the rural area, I know women are very busy doing farming, at least to make them busy, also to make us get more food next year, God willing. So we are ready and we are not ready. We are in the middle.
What are some of the impacts of El Nino rains?
Well, impact number one, it will affect, I want to say, mostly women because they are the ones who are normally do business, the small businesses. Number two, it will affect a small business like selling secondhand clothes, selling fish on the street, selling maize on the street. I know women will be affected, and that is the only income generation that they get to support their families. We thank God school are almost closed, so our children will be in the house, they'll not be moving out. But again, it will also affect our children. They'll not have that opportunity to play with other children outside there because of El Nino. And again, we are worried about the houses which they don't have permanent structures, the temporary houses, we are worried they'll collapse. And again, we are also worried. We don't know what will happen during the El Nino time, whether we'll have another COVID because of the weather. We're also worried about it. We know that we'll have so many infections because of the rains. Yeah. Cholera outbreak, malaria because of mosquitoes. So we are worried about that. We know that would be the impact of El Nino. So I know government are putting up structures on what to do, and even the health department, but they are yet to come out and prepare and tell us what we need to do in case of malaria, in case of cholera outbreak. I have seen them talking a little about the cholera outbreak, that we need to drink a lot of water to prevent ourselves from cholera, so, and to wash our hands. So we are yet to get more awareness. So what we need to do, we need to increase more awareness, either through radio talk show, social media, newspapers, people to prepare for El Nino. That is my prayer.
And you also spoke about the impact of El Nino to women and children. Can you expound it?
The impact of El Nino to women. I know most of the women are always hardworking, doing business just outside, either the market, on the street, to make sure they get something to take back home. But now the challenge when El Nino will come, these women will suffer. The people who will suffer most will be women, because some of them are single mothers, others are widows, and they depend on doing business to get something back home. But now when El Nino will come, that will be the biggest blow, because some of them will not go do business. They have to stay at home to protect themselves from the outbreaks, from the cholera, and also to protect their children back home. So that will be another impact of El Nino. We are worried of the GBV cases will increase because of El Nino. Maybe it will affect their husband who are still outside. They're not in the house. They have to maybe to look for shelter to sleep outside to protect themselves. So again, when this man will come back tomorrow morning or maybe very late at night, it will bring a lot of fractions and frictions in the house, which it will contribute to cases of gender-based violence. So we are alert as stakeholders and partners, as an organization, Muhuri, we are alert. And we are ready also to have more awareness and more talk shows to tell women and men about prevention of gender-based violence, especially during this time of El Nino.
For these women who live in slum areas, what do you think about them?
We are very worried about the women who live in slum area because of the situation. The women who live like in Shomoroni, Junda area, Chuda Moroto. That's part of the slums here in Mombasa.
In
Kisumundogo, Shauriako, Maweni. We are really worried about the situation because we know their houses are not permanently. They're just temporary houses. So we are worried about the El Nino. Maybe it will carry away their houses and also their clothes. And I don't think we are ready to support people in case their houses are cleaned away, because we have not been told to either donate food or donate clothes or donate utensils. I think the government need to come up with a structure, people to start donating before it's too late. Yeah, we will work closely with the county government, disaster management, Red Cross to help people be suffering during that time. And as an organization, we'll concentrate more on creating awareness, either to radio talk shows or maybe other community, just to talk to our people to be ready and be prepared in case of anything. And also at least sharing any contact number in case of anything, people to report for rescue. That is what we'll be doing as an organization. I know county government has a plan and they're planning so many things to do here in Mombasa to make sure that people are safe. There is so many activities that are going on right now. And we are also praying that El Nino should not distract our peace, so that we live in peace. And we are praying for the blessing that El Nino should come with blessings, so people to do farming and get a lot of food, and not distract our peace, like just demolishing all the houses and slashing everything in the community. So that is what we are praying. And again, as the county government, because we also partner with them on the gender department, we are ready to receive cases of GBV to make sure that everyone has a right like any other human being. So we'll be having a lot of awareness through radio talk shows and community dialogue forums to make sure that people have peace in their houses, to live in love during this El Nino time, but not to fight. So we're also praying for that, and that is what we'll do as an organization and the county government of Mombasa. Muhuri will not sleep. We'll be awake 24 hours. We have a hotline number that we have partnered with Sauti ya Wanawake, Muhuri, and County Government Department of Gender. So we'll be alert and on call to receive any cases of gender-based violence during this El Nino time.
That was Topista Juma, an activist with Muhuri, the Muslim for Human Rights Organization in Mombasa, Kenya. Before that, you heard Aisha Al-Husseini of the Red Cross Society, and the program began with Hamisa Zaja, program officer with Maji Naufanisi. In English, the name means water and development. They all spoke about plans for how to deal with the torrential El Nino rains that are battering their country. Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi, who conducted the interviews, has herself been displaced by the risk of flooding. We wish safety for her and her family during this time. Wings thanks the community radio stations around the world that broadcast this series, Suzette Cullen, and also Genevieve Vaughn, theorist of the maternal gift economy, whose discussion series can be viewed at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.